Welcome to Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. I'm Stella Fong. In this show, we talk about memories from the iconic Northern Hotel in Billings. We step back into the past with guest Susan Carlson and maitre d' Rick Albert, who shares stories of times in the historic restaurant, the Golden Bell. We then learn of this season's food and drink from executive chef Lisa Rimble and 10 manager Samantha Dybaugh. We talk to owner Mike Nelson of his memories to learn of his holiday wishes for downtown Billings. The Northern Hotel was built in 1904 by Henry W. Raleigh and P.B. Moss. At that time, the 39-room, three-story hotel was decorated in a theme of Italian Renaissance, fronted with Greek Ionic columns and a double loggia on the second floor. During renovations in 1940, a fire from a dress store below took the hotel down. Quickly, the architectural firm of Halliburton and Root from Chicago was hired to design a 10-story building. On July 7, 1942, manager Lester Carter opened a hotel with terrazzo floors inlaid with brass and travertine marble walls. The dining room was carpeted in green with a leaf motif and straw-colored walls. Best of all, this hotel was mechanically ventilated, so fresh air came in and old air was suctioned out. The Northern Hotel opened the famed Golden Bell restaurant in September of 1959. The Old West theme was replaced by burgundy-colored walls and carpeting accented with fixtures and decorations from the 1890s. Paintings were described as eye-catching art for the naked renditions of women gracing the walls. Bartenders sported long-handled mustaches while waitresses dressed like Mae West. While in the high-end restaurant, the uniform was more formal. I brought Rick Albert and Susan Carlson into the studio. Rick worked as a busboy, tableside server, and a maitre d' at the Golden Bell in the 70s. Susan talked of going to the Golden Bell when she was a little girl.
There wasn't another restaurant, and so that was the place to go.
And kind of the only sometimes.
Yeah.
And you could go dress casually if you'd like, but...
But you shouldn't.
You shouldn't. And on special holidays, you know, everybody always wanted to dress to the nines. It was just something you did.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal. It was planned. It was put on the calendar. It was tradition.
Right.
It was shine those shoes, find those white gloves, and you were going to go.
And in the 60s, Susan began going to the Golden Bell with her great-grandmother, Emma Evers, grandmother, Dorothea Wolf, and mother, Betty Lindsay, the four representing four generations. Susan tells of how she remembers the Northern was decorated during the holidays.
It was the decorations at the Northern that was always in anticipation. You knew that the poinsettias, the lights, the candles, that was back when they were still lighting candles. If I remember a phlox tree in the lobby with red lights. And I know that for our family, I would go with my grandmother. She went with her friends. But then it became a tradition. Four generations. There was my grandmother, there was my mother, there was my great-grandmother, and then there was me. My great-grandmother would come from central Montana, and we'd do it very close to Christmas, and the anticipation and the sounds and the lights downtown Billings would be lit up. And then as my time went on, another generation of four, when we added my daughter. And so we did that, and we looked forward to it every year.
In more recent years, Susan's daughter Emily and son Gary joined in the festivities. But for Susan, what was the most anticipated dish for her at the Golden Bell?
The food always was a Monte Cristo for me. I tried to think of all the things, the elegant things, but that was as elegant.
But it was delicious.
Oh,
it was
to get
a sandwich that was fried.
And three layers.
Right.
Three layers and then it would come out and it was always just hot and it was just a very...
And dusted with powdered sugar?
Nope.
No.
No, this was not this one. No.
Served with like a marmalade or a fruited compote.
And it had ham and chicken or turkey.
I still make it.
Three layers, three-layer turkey, like a club sandwich, but fried. What was it fried in?
It was coated with a whitewash with egg and
milk,
and then you breaded it in cornflake crumbs.
Oh.
But most importantly, it was ceremonial when you arrived. Mm-hmm. Someone always greeted you, and a very handsome maitre d'.
Years later, Rick Albert was that handsome maitre d'. Susan's anticipation of time at the Northern was year-round.
We would practice all year long our dining room table etiquette, setting the table, linens, water glasses. We didn't have much wine. But when you came into the Golden Bell.
You were a little young for that.
When you came into the Golden Bell as a little girl, the red velvet, and you always touched it. Always touched the red velvet, and the drapes were always clean. Don't ask me why.
I started those on fire.
Yeah.
But, oh, well, that sounds like a story.
The pink linen napkins, always napkin first on your lap. The menus, it was ceremonial. It was, and the waitresses were, I mean, they were old-fashioned, experienced in their little white apron. It changed. I think when I was younger, it was a whole black, always a skirt, no pants, very conservative.
Well, and Rick, what are some of your memories? So how were you dressed then, now that we're in the dress part?
Always in a coat and a tie. You needed to look good.
Well, and there you were, the handsome maitre d' that greeted these beautiful young women that came into the restaurant.
But he not only was dressed to the T's, he just welcomed you. But there was the grand piano, and there was Rick. And the second generation of my family, when my daughter would go, there was this guy that would be singing. And my grandmother, Dorothea, had him right here.
Oh.
And he would sing to her. Sit down. I think sometimes Mamo may have sat with you on the bench.
Yeah.
We will come back to the memories of Mamo sitting on the piano bench with Rick, who played the piano and serenaded the patrons. For now, we hear from Rick and learn of how he came to work at the Northern Hotel.
I started there in around 1978-79 during the holidays, and I would work there off and on. I was going to school at the University of Wyoming, majoring in music education, and I'd come back every summer and work at the Northern.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a busboy back then. It's just an experience I just can't even, it's hard to explain.
Well, it's nice to be somewhere when it is a special place. And you just said you got dressed up. It was special for the patrons that came in.
Yes.
And you made that place special.
Well,
you helped. You were part of the team.
10 years he was there.
And that takes a really amazingly special skill.
Well, I started as a busboy, and then eventually I'd worked into the tableside cooking, which was a huge deal there. The flambés, the bananas Foster, the cherries Jubilee, the steaks, flambés. That was a big, big deal. And I think they felt that it ran its course. And they needed to go in a new direction. So they went away from that. And, you know, there were people that either you really liked it or you really didn't like it.
Next, Rick talks of one of the most iconic table service events at the Northern. In an advertisement for the restaurant, the shish kebab ritual was described as, while you and your friends sit there smiling like visiting royalty, the shish kebab entourage sweeps into the view. The gong sounds. The Northern lights grow dim, and the ritual has begun.
One of the neatest things there were our kebabs, our beef and chicken kebabs. We would come out with these long swords on fire, and then we would have this gong, iconic gong here.
Well, wouldn't the gong go off first?
The lights would dim. Someone would go to the lights and dim the lights. The lights would actually go off.
Well, we almost have to hit the gong just so the listeners can hear what this gong sounds like.
And then
it
would go like this, and then... And the lights would dim, and then we'd come out with our flaming kebab, and we'd go to the table where it was supposed to go. It was just it was iconic.
Well, it was a ceremony. Yeah, it was really special.
It actually was. And definitely got people's attention.
So would you come out like, you know, the kebabs would be on fire. You would have these swords probably up in the air.
Yes.
And the flames would be going.
Yes.
And would there be like an army of you that would come out or?
No, it would just be one person with the sword and the flames going on the sword and. then we'd get to the table and we'd politely take the swabs off of the
And they were still
sword.
Flaming?
They were still flaming, and then we put a lid on it. And there were quite a few times that I would go out there and the flames would kind of go where you didn't want them. Sometimes they'd drop on the floor and you'd take a napkin and swash it out. Or one time I can remember that I started the little yellow balls on fire on the velvet curtains.
Mm-hmm. The little tassels, the little fluffy balls.
I started those on fire. That was interesting.
But you caught it in time.
We caught it in time.
Good, yeah. Good.
Yeah, but those curtains stayed hung just like that for quite some time.
And Susan, did you participate in any, the gong ceremony?
Never. Watched it, anticipated for it. And for birthdays, if you're a waitress, and she probably got tipped well for it, a grandmother, a parent could talk her into hitting the gong for a birthday also. Yep. I don't think that was the rules, but there was always a waitress who loved your family, who was the same waitress. Right. Everybody was the same. And that's what made it so comfortable. And
and they would just do it because they knew it was so special for you.
It was special. It was very special.
From flambés to shish kebabs, we come back to Rick's memories of the holidays at the Northern.
We walked into the dining room, and it was just full of poinsettias in all the corners of the room, and they were all decked out with the white lights. It was just like a fantasy land that you walk into there, and with all the reds of the wallpaper, and we used to have the red kerosene lanterns on each table, and you could smell the kerosene actually.
Mm-hmm.
It was a beautiful place, especially Christmas Eve, Christmas during the Christmas holidays. It was the place to go. They'd usually have a special type menu for Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, where you would have several choices. Instead of running their regular dinner menu, they would run different specials like prime rib, that sort of thing.
And after a Christmas shopping spree at Hart Albans and Kohl's, and as downtown grew, even in the 80s, it still was the place to go and probably one of the only places to finish off your Christmas holiday spree was to go and have lunch.
I remember
the Northern.
There were a lot of lady luncheons in the afternoons. I remember that.
We move from afternoon to evening as Rick shares a more spirited memory.
And we also had what was called a Don Juan, which was an after-dinner drink.
Mm-hmm.
It was a dessert drink. And I think it was Kahlua, vodka, coffee, whipped topping. That was a really, really quite a show because you'd have the show glass and you would actually start those glasses on fire.
Okay.
And kind of...
I knew there was fire involved.
Yep.
In
yeah, it was quite a show.
And you're moving your hands. Were you juggling them or something?
Well, that's what... we were just kind of crisscrossing our hands and kind of... And so you'd see the flames going,
right,
you know, in all directions. And it was quite a deal. It was quite a spectacle.
No, it sounded like it. I'm actually surprised the Northern didn't burn down with all this fire that was going on.
Yeah, and that could be maybe another reason why they needed to make a change, you know, because of the fire codes changed.
Right.
And I think that there was some danger in it.
Yeah, no, but, you know, it never did, and it was very festive.
Yeah.
Come back to the second part of Flavors Under the Big Sky. As we talk to today's executive chef, Lisa Rimbaugh, 10 manager, Samantha Daiba, and owner, Mike Nelson, to hear more of stories of fire, food, and memories. Welcome back. The Northern Hotel was boarded up in 2006, which permanently closed the Golden Bell after nearly 50 years of serving up food and drink. In January 9, 2019, Mike Nelson and his brother Chris purchased the hotel, outbidding the next highest offer by $1. The new state-of-the-art hotel reopened on March of 2013 with two new restaurants, Bernie's Diner and 10. Bernie's Diner, named after Mike and Chris's mother, serves breakfast and lunch. 10 focuses on fine dining and is the replacement to the Golden Bell. 10 stands for Thomas Edgar Nelson, Mike and Chris's father. Now, let's go to the 10 bar. Here we are encased in red, bordello red, beckoning back to the old days. Metal, glass, and wood interject a modern vibe
while black leather and red velvet recall years past. On Christmas Day this season, executive chef Lisa Rimbaugh will cook up a holiday feast.
Mr. Nelson and I like to do something traditional. We also like to put a new spin on as much as we can. And I moved here from the Pacific Northwest, so I tend to go a little bit Pacific Northwest food as often as I can.
And what's on the holiday menu?
We're starting with a beef tenderloin with a popover, which is a traditional Christmas meal. We're including roasted grapes and cranberries. The roasted turkey leg, again, pretty traditional with mashed potatoes and gravy and a traditional stuffing. The pork loin steaks with a cherry plum sauce, that sort of harkens back to Victorian era. They did a lot of pork and they did a lot of plums and sauces like that. And then, again, because of my Pacific Northwest roots, we're doing a pecan and dill-crusted salmon with wild rice.
While we think of cranberries as more traditional for the holidays, we don't often think of grapes.
It's a pretty common thing from the Victorian era. They did a lot of grapes and cranberries. Those were a really special thing that they couldn't get very often. So they included them in their menus as often as they could.
And your cherry plum sauce that goes with the pork loin, is that dried cherries or just your special cherry concoction?
Of course it's special, but I am using dried cherries, fresh plums, and we'll probably put a little bit of an Asian flavor with that as well. You don't have to be one way or another on Christmas, actually. So,
no, it's a super diverse menu, and the salmon with pecans and dill is very different.
I like to put a fish with our menu for every holiday if we can. I was sort of thinking about the seven fishes in Italy that they do for Christmas, so I like to put a fish in there whenever I can.
Then, for my most favorite part of the meal, the sweet ending, what is Chef Rimbaugh offering up for dessert?
Okay, so we're going to do a sweet potato pie. All of these desserts are made in-house. Everything is fresh. Sweet potato pie with a spiced chantilly, a pumpkin pear bread pudding. We make a house-made Chev cheesecake, which means it's made with goat cheese, and we're doing Grand Marnier berries with that. And then we have an apple crisp.
Being a chef is hard work and involves long hours. Chef Rimbaugh shares why she became a chef and what rewards she has received.
What drew me to being a chef was that my grandfather was a chef. My sister owned a restaurant. I was raised in that industry, and I love the feeling of the industry itself. I like being in a kitchen. I like being part of that culture. And it's a really nice feeling that you're able to give something to somebody's special day. You're a part of that, and hopefully they go away remembering what you served for them.
Well, there is no better gift than having food and a full tummy at the end of a great holiday meal.
Right, and if they come to 10, they don't have to cook it themselves.
That's even better.
Yeah, so it's really fun to do. It's very crazy on holidays, but we do a really nice job of still having a fine dining menu for the holiday.
I love it. I hope that tradition continues and moves forward.
Thank you.
To extend the holiday celebration into the new year, Ten's front of the house manager shares how the restaurant will be presenting wine and food pairings in theme with the 12 Days of Christmas song. Samantha Dybar shares.
The chef, Lisa, and I were trying to think of some things to bring in for the Christmas holidays. So we decided to do 12 Days of Christmas, starting on the traditional day of the 25th of December. It will have wines that pair with all 12 days, so we have either the label or the name of the wine will pair with each day, and we also have small bites to go with each wine as well.
For Christmas Day, the wine and food pairing for When Our Love Gives Us a Partridge in a Pear Tree is poached pear with a partridge cookie served with a Covey Run Riesling. On day two turtle doves, it will be turtle brownies with sips of Casa de Llana Expression Tempranillo with a label alluding to doves. Daiba explains what is happening on the last 5 days.
The last 5 days will start on January 1st, and so the Eight Maids of Milking will be a cowgirl cabernet, and it is served with a panna cotta, which we will do a cabernet julée on the top of it. And then our Nine Ladies Dancing will be the Ménage à Trois, which has ladies dancing on the label, and it will be a pink lady apple pie for the dessert. And then we have Ten Lords Leaping, which is the Tinto Ray Tempranillo. It has lords on the label. And then we will be doing a Lord Baltimore cake. We then will have the Trumpeter wine for the 11 Pipers Piping, which is a Malbec, and it will be served with Parmesan pastry pipes. And then our last day on the 5th of January will be the Drumheller Chardonnay for 12 Drummers Drumming, served with 12 drummies, which are wings, and a cranberry barbecue sauce.
I wondered about the Lord Baltimore cake for 10 Lords a-leaping.
It's actually a really light white cake made famous by Lord Baltimore. It's got dried fruit and nuts in it. It's a very festive holiday cake.
And how does somebody find out about what's on the menu and what's going on?
We will be advertising it through social media, and we will have table tents here that will talk about what is going on, and it'll be a big push on social media. So Facebook, Instagram, that's how they'll find out each day of what we will be serving.
When talking to Rick Albert in the first part of this Flavors Under the Big Sky, he told of flambés, flaming shish kebabs, and fiery Kahlua drinks from the past. Samantha Dybar tells what is smoking at the bar these days.
We have a cocktail that our mixologist Andy just came up with that is for the holiday season. It is made with the High West whiskey, which is Campfire High West. It's a smokier whiskey, but he puts chokecherry syrup, cranberries, rosemary, and he lights it on fire, and we put our traditional 10-spice seasoning in it to make it seasonal for the holidays.
So you're keeping that fire tradition that has been going on here at the Northern Hotel.
Minimally. We have a few cocktails that we light on fire, but it doesn't last long, and it's mainly for the show, but it's incredible. People up at the bar love watching our mixologists create those drinks.
No, it sounds really wonderful. And the whole smoke concept is very popular right now.
Yes, it is. We have a Blackberry Negroni that is on our seasonal cocktail list that just keeps selling. People love that smokiness. We light a wood cedar plank on fire and we put the glass over it so then it gets that smoke flavor into the glass and then we pour the rest of the ingredients into it.
We now talk to Mike Nelson, owner of the Northern Hotel, who jokingly claims he is the head pizza chef. The Billings native returned from Las Vegas to care for his parents in 2008. In Vegas, he first took on insurance sales to later move on to working on the Strip in the hospitality industry at the Imperial Palace, Sam's Town, and the New Frontier. Upon his return, he and his brother Chris decided to buy the Northern Hotel. Ken is named after your dad. Bernie's is named after your mom. So I'm sure you had these like incredible memories of being here as a kid.
Oh my, yes I did. As a matter of fact, right over there, I know this is radio, but I'm pointing to my right. My parents would take us to the early bird dinners at the Northern and then stab us with a fork if we were not using our best table manners. So table manners here in the Golden Bell.
In the dining room of the Golden Bell, where Mike Nelson was pointing to, not only reminds him of family, but reminds him of where his life changed.
I got the job interview that I had that took me away to Las Vegas. I had in the Golden Bell.
It was family that brought him back to Billings. He tears up when he speaks of childhood memories, of times with family, of his favorite dish.
Trout almondine. I don't know why, but I remember trout almondine on Sunday evenings, I think. Might have been Thursday or Friday evenings, too. My folks like to go out to dinner a lot. I remember that. I do remember Sunday afternoons window shopping, looking in the windows of Kohl's, Hard Albans, Newberry's. I remember the diner at Woolworths. Is it Woolworths or was it Kresge's? Probably Kresge's back then. I remember a lot of that stuff. It was a pretty neat place downtown was. Oh, my gosh, there was a stationery store where my dad would always buy ink for his fountain pens. We'd go there all the time, and it was next to Al's Bootery. I was just a kind of a little kid back then, but it was the neatest place that you could ever imagine to be able to come downtown and see the sights and look at the beautiful mannequins. Oh my gosh, Hard Albans had such a wonderful window display for Christmas. You know, you would go there and the kids could see the toys in the toy window and mom could see the dresses in the dress window and my dad could turn his back to it and smoke his cigarettes and throw them in the gutter. And pretend like he was having a family moment, I'm sure.
Well, there's more smoke here.
There you go.
So let's go back to the Northern. What about your memories? Did you remember getting dressed up and coming here for maybe a special lunch or dinner just before the holidays?
I do. I did remember that a lot. I remember Sunday brunches after church. We were at the First Presbyterian Church up on by Veterans Park, and then we'd come down to brunch in the Golden Bell and stand in line, and you know, the naked pictures were all covered with sheets. I remember that too. And I just have to tell you that some of the warmest memories of my parents were sitting at those tables, a special get dressed up, put on a sport coat when you're like 8 or 9 years old. That's a really fun time. And spend it at a really nice restaurant. That was the Golden Bell. And yes, and then mom slapping the back of my hand when I reached for a roll rather than asking to pass it. You know, that's kind of warm too.
Well, but this is, this was the place to learn your manners, and it was special. So it was something that you probably liked being well behaved for because of the rewards of the good food and just being in the space, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. Probably exactly that. You know, there was a lot of rehearsal for that job interview that happened at over a couple of martinis at the Golden Bell at lunch with the agent of this insurance company in Las Vegas that wanted to hire me, thanks to my dad. He got me the interview, and I did okay. You know, I had enough table manners. I'm sure that most of them were learned here at the hotel, and I got the job, and it you know, maybe that's not a good thing because it took me away from Billings for 30 years, but, you know, it was a really important place. Downtown was an important idea when I was a kid, and it was just so special to my family. It was where everything took place. You know, you went there to do your business. You went there because your office was there. You went there to shop. And now, you know, we're watching it come back like that.
Well, it's really obvious because, again, you've paid homage to both your parents, you know, naming the restaurants after them. But I'm sure you have this treasure trove of history here, and I'm sure you want to continue to create memories for people who live here and visit here.
Yeah, we really do. It's something to watch. Well, the two folks you just talked to and their development and how they've grown and how they've made the restaurant grow to fit their talents and skills. I'm such a lucky guy to have them working here. And it's also so much fun to get to know our customers throughout the years and watch their kids grow and watch downtown become a special place for them. You know, just something about the magnetism of the center of a bustling and thriving city. And that's exactly what I think Billings is. I'm just so excited about watching the next 5 years. You know, we're going to have our 7th anniversary next March. We've been open 7 years, and so many neat things have happened. I like to say I can sit in the lobby and the entire world kind of just walks through and you can watch it.
Well, happy holidays to you.
Ho, 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 Merry Christmas.
Before we leave the Northern Hotel, I bring maitre d' Rick Albert of the Golden Bell back. Imagine for a moment Susan Carlson's grandmother sitting at the piano with Albert.
And have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays to you and yours. Theme music for Flavors Under the Big Sky has been provided by Parker Brown. Additional funding has been provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communications on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanians. Thanks to you, listeners, for your support. I'm Stella Fong.